and hymns and spiritual songs. There's the sense of what Paul is saying in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now folks, just as alcohol loosens the tongue to sing the most corrupt, abominable things, the filling of the Holy Spirit loosens the tongue to sing praises to God. Listen, somebody who is full of the Holy Spirit cannot but help sing praises to God. But much of the singing in churches today, and perhaps in your home, perhaps in your car, perhaps where you are in private, much of the singing is more in keeping with the intoxicating spirits than with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I'm talking about? The music that we listen to and the music that we sing is more in keeping with intoxicating spirits. I mean, I've watched video and I've seen rock concerts in the news, and you see people who are going crazy. Now, is that of the Holy Spirit? Or is that of some intoxicating spirit? And yet that's what we are importing into our churches. John Eadie, in his commentary on Ephesians, says this: the heathen festivals were noted for intemperate revelry and song, but the Christian congregation was to set an example of hallowed exhilaration and rapture. Know what it says here. Speaking to yourselves, number one, in psalms. And it gives three things: psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, are these just all synonymous? Or is the Apostle Paul mentioning these three to get something across to us? Let's look at those three. Speaking to yourselves or among yourselves or to one another in psalms. This often refers to a book in the Bible. Which book would you guess? The book of Psalms. And yet the verb, psalming, has to do with plucking the strings of an instrument. There you go, Dr. Mary. There's the guitar. There's the lyre. It has to do with the plucking the strings of an instrument. Thus, a sacred song chanted to the accompaniment of instrumental music. Speaking to one another in psalms. In hymns, secondly. In fact, we get our word from the Greek word. The Greek word is hymnos, hymns. These are songs of praise that are addressed to God. So I am speaking, we are speaking to each other among ourselves in psalms, in hymns, that is songs of praise to God. That word hymns is used in Acts 16:25 when two men were cast into prison in Philippi. And at midnight, these two men, Paul and Silas, began praying and sang praises unto God. Same word. And thirdly, in spiritual songs. These are songs that are related to the Holy Spirit. Songs which are spiritual. An outburst caused by the Holy Spirit. Think of Hannah in the Old Testament. Remember when she was consecrating her son? She burst out with song. Her heart, her soul was full. And she began to sing. That was a spiritual song. Think of Mary. When she heard from the angel that she would give birth to God's Son, and she burst out with that Magnificat, the Holy Spirit. Think of Zacharias, who was dumb, could not speak because he did not believe the angel's pronouncement that he would become a father. But when John the Baptist was born, Zacharias burst out with song. That was a spiritual song. It's like when your heart wells up within you, when the truth of God's Word overwhelms you. Have you ever experienced that? When some truth in God's Word overwhelms you, and your heart bursts out with a song, you want to sing. And perhaps you want to sing a psalm, you want to sing a hymn. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Folks, what would the singing be like if that would capture the heart of every person in this congregation? If every person would be full of the Spirit and would sing in such a way. That kind of singing is a big contrast to the music of somebody who is drunk and somebody who is rioting. Like rock music is. Singing to yourselves, we see in the first part of verse 19. But secondly, we see singing to the Lord in the last part of verse 19. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Who's the audience when we sing? When you get up here and you sing a solo, or when the choir is singing, who's the audience? When you sing there, who's the audience? Is it the person next to you? Do you want to impress them with your voice? Who's the audience, folks? It's the Lord. That's why what we sing should be dictated by what pleases Him, not what pleases my ear. Years ago, a lady was asking me about our church, one of my neighbors, and said, what kind of songs do you sing in your church? And she didn't even give him a chance to answer. She said, because I like the songs that really get with it. I like contemporary Christian music. And I said, well, then you will not like our church. Because the audience, folks, when we sing, is not each other. It's not somebody performing up here to tickle your ears and make you feel good. The audience when you sing is the Lord God. You know someone's full of themselves rather than the Spirit when they sing for me. When we sing to Him, though, a byproduct of that is that others are edified. Others are built up. And that's why Paul is saying, speaking to one another, but my audience is the Lord, but in so doing, others are edified. Because the inward music of the heart cannot help but be expressed to other people. And then there's these two verbs, two more participles right there in verse 19. You see the participle speaking, and then you see the participle singing, and the participle making melody. Literally, singing and psalming. Singing and psalming. It's what takes place in an individual's heart, even while he is speaking, in concert with everybody else. Folks, this is heartfelt singing and psalming. Let me challenge you that when you pick up your hymn book, and when the song leader gets up here and asks you to turn to a certain hymn, that you put your heart into it. Jerome, one of the church fathers who lived in the late 300s, had a comment about this verse. I thought this was interesting. Listen to what Jerome said some 1,700 years ago. He said, quote, "Let young men hear this. Let those hear it who have the office of singing in the church, that they sing not with their voice, but with their heart. To the Lord. Not like tragedians, physically preparing their throat and mouth, that they may sing after the fashion of the theater in the church. He that has but an ill voice, if he has good works, is a singer before God. Let the servant of Christ so order his singing that the words which are read may please more than the voice of the singer." You say, I can't sing very well. You know what? Your voice may not sing it right, but if you're singing from the heart, that's the most beautiful music there is. It's somebody who sings from the heart. How do you know somebody's full of the Spirit? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their heart to the Lord. Secondly, thanksgiving. Verse 20. Between the two participles, speaking and submitting, is the emphasis that I am having this morning. It's the emphasis of giving thanks. But we're talking about the relatives of thanksgiving. That's why we talked about singing. Here's another result of being filled with the Spirit. Singing is very closely related to thanksgiving. True giving of thanks to God is related to the filling of His Holy Spirit. Go back to verse 4 here of chapter 5 and note what giving thanks is set against. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient or fitting, but rather giving of thanks. It almost seems as if one who is not giving thanks to God is indulging in those things that are mentioned. Giving thanks. I want you to note four things about this thanksgiving that's mentioned here in Ephesians 5:20. Four things. Number one, this thanksgiving is continuous. This thanksgiving is continuous. Read with me. Giving thanks. Next word out loud, please. Is that word really in there? Giving thanks always. That is emphasized by the word always, but it is also emphasized by the fact that giving thanks is in the present tense. Always giving thanks. Not just at Thanksgiving time. This thanksgiving is continuous. Number two, this thanksgiving is comprehensive. Giving thanks always for what? For some things. For all things. In the context of the book of Ephesians, this refers to all the blessings that God gives the Christian. In other words, don't let any of God's blessings escape your notice. What blessings of God have escaped your notice? You know, this morning we sang, "Count your blessings." What are the blessings of God that you have not noticed recently? We were talking, I think it was last Sunday, in our particular small group, and we were talking about prayer. Maybe it was a few weeks ago. And we were talking about how we should give thanks and praise to God in our praying. And I mentioned how I was challenged a couple of years ago in my class that I was taking by my teacher. The assignment before I flew back to Greenville was, you need to get down on your knees and pray for 1 hour and thank God. Now you say, that's an assignment. That doesn't mean anything. No, it meant something. Could you, for 1 hour, pray and thank God? Nothing else. No requests. Nothing else. You just thank God. You thank Him and praise Him for everything. You think you could do that? I wondered. But that hour went by rather quickly. And I still had more things that were coming to mind that I could thank God for. I used to hear people pray at the end of their prayer. They would say, "And we will be sure to give you thanks." Have you ever heard anybody pray like that? "And we will be sure to give you thanks for everything." You know what? Then let's make sure we do give God thanks. The word for give thanks, that's two words in the English. In the original, it's one word, giving thanks. And the word there has another word in it. It's the word grace. True thanksgiving sometimes requires grace to give thanks for things for which we would not normally give thanks. But the verse says to give thanks always for all things. It's easy to thank God for blessings, but you know what? The hardships are a little bit more difficult, aren't they? I refer you back to the song we sang this morning, "Count Your Blessings." When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, it says, when you're discouraged, thinking everything is lost, what should you do? Count your blessings. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your blessings. You see, we tend to thank God when things are going well, but how about thanking God and counting our blessings when things aren't going so well? There's a story told of two men who were walking through a pasture. And as they walked through this pasture, they all of a sudden noticed an enraged bull. And as it began to run toward the fence, the one man yelled to the other, knowing that they were not going to make it, "John, pray!" And John yelled back, "I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. I have never prayed in my life." And the other man said, "John, you had better pray something." John yelled back, "I'll pray what I heard my father pray at the supper table. Oh Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." in all things. You know someone is full of themselves rather than full of the Spirit when they're always complaining, griping, murmuring. Never do you see in the Bible where it says, you know what, complain every once in a while, murmur. It's always talking about giving thanks always for all things. Now, I am preaching to myself here. This thanksgiving is continuous. This thanksgiving is comprehensive. Thirdly, this thanksgiving is concentrated. Notice what it says. Unto God and the Father. It is focused. My thanksgiving is concentrated on God the Father. The giving of thanks always has an object. Someone receiving the thanks. Thanksgiving, folks, is not I am thankful for. Because who's the object? Who are you thanking for it? That's what you're going to hear this week. People are going to say, the media is going to say, what are you thankful for? Well, I am thankful for the fact that our team won the football game. I am thankful for all the food we have. I am thankful for my country. To whom are you thankful? Thanksgiving always has an object. Don't just say, I am thankful. I thank God and the Father through my Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. I thank God and the Father through Jesus Christ for all that He has given me, that He always supplies my needs. Go back to the Thanksgiving proclamations of our forefathers. Go back to the Thanksgiving proclamation that George Washington gave there in the 1790s. You know who he's thanking? He is not saying, and we as Americans should be thankful. He specifically says, we thank God, our Father, our benefactor. And he encourages every American to thank God for what he has done for us. Folks, your thanksgiving should be concentrated. It should be focused on God the Father. So this thanksgiving is continuous. It's comprehensive. It's concentrated. Fourthly, it is commended. It is commended in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. True thanksgiving has an object and is done on the merits of Jesus Christ. It springs out of a relationship with Jesus Christ because every blessing of God comes to me through Jesus Christ. Jesus had told His disciples to use His name in prayer to God the Father. Here we are told to give thanks in the name of Jesus Christ to God the Father. All that I have, all that I am, is due to His Son, Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God the Father in His name. That's true thanksgiving. Well, that's the second part of Sybil. The first one is singing. The second one is giving thanks. I think you can see how those two are related. Now verse 21, the third part of Sybil. Submitting. Another brother of thanksgiving. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here's another result of being filled with the Spirit. That word submitting is a compound word. The suffix or the end of that word is a military term that has to do with arranging troops or ships for battle. The prefix of the first part of that word is under. It literally has to do with being under a commanding officer. Who's the commanding officer in our submitting ourselves? Look at the last part of the verse. In the fear of God. Thus, I don't submit to just anything or anyone. I submit to someone in the fear of God. I am controlled by the fear of God. For example, the apostles were told by their religious authorities never again to speak in the name of Jesus. Could they obey such a command? Could they submit themselves to that? No, you read in Acts 5:29, they said very boldly, we ought to obey God rather than men. We will submit ourselves to God rather to a man. And yet, we are to be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Therefore, no one is seeking to rise above the others by asserting himself, as the Pharisees did, to be seen of men. This means that I don't have this independent, autocratic spirit, but I subject myself. I desire to get along with others with a sweet attitude. I am not throwing my weight around. You see, the motto of this world is to look out for number one, to look out for self. That's not the motto of the believer. In the fear of Christ, he serves others. You know someone's full of themselves rather than the Spirit when he always has to have his own way. Verse 21 is talking about harmony, talking about fellowship. Or as a commentator said, this is the social expression of the personal feeling of thankfulness to God. Then you see, as what follows, every person submitting and fulfilling in their role. Wives submitting to their husbands, verses 22 and following. Children, chapter 6 and verse 1, obeying their parents. Servants, chapter 6 and verse 5, being obedient to their masters, submitting themselves one to another. Submitting. Submission. Subjecting themselves. Folks, it is no accident that giving thanks or thanksgiving is mentioned in this passage, because giving thanks is a result of being filled with the Spirit. The opposite is griping, complaining, and murmuring. It is no accident that giving thanks is mentioned with two other results of being filled with the Spirit: singing and submitting. Thanksgiving's relatives. The result of being filled with the Spirit. I sing, I give thanks, submitting myself one to another. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.